Hello, everyone, and welcome to the Pick and Pop podcast in association with Pick and Roll and Zoom TV. I'm Christopher Tyler, and alongside me is not Damian Arsenis, but Luke Zakari. Mate, welcome to the show.
All right, it's a pleasure to be here, Chris. I'm looking forward to it.
Mate, obviously, you're filling in the chair for today because Damo is off to have a baby. Him and his wife have got their third baby due tomorrow, which is fantastic. So congratulations to Damo and the family there. It's fantastic to hear that there's going to be a new addition to the Arsenis family. So welcome to the show. We're going to be talking a lot of hoops, as we always do. And we're going to be starting off, as we always do, with a segment called The Starting Five, where we have a look at five topics in 5 minutes. We want to start off today, Luke, by asking, with the news about the Basketball Without Borders coming to Melbourne later this year, only a month or two away, why should the NBA bring a game to Australia, Luke? Why should the NBA bring a game to Australia?
Well, I think there's a lot of factors that no other country can have. Like, apart from America, Australia has the top League Pass subscription numbers.
And you're one of them.
Yes, I'm one of them, year after year. They've got seven Australians playing in the NBA at the moment, with more to come this year in the draft.
And high quality players as well. Yeah. They're not just bench riders as well. We've got some... Dellavedova's getting some good minutes and in a terrific Cavs squad. We've got Paddy playing some great minutes at the Spurs. Obviously, Bogey's starting for the 73-9 Warriors. We're probably going to have the number one draft pick in Ben Simmons this year. It all looks to be like he's going to be number one. These are good players. They're not just players that no one knows about. They are brand name guys as well.
Yeah, absolutely. And talking to Scott Levy, the NBA Asia Managing Director, and Brooks Meek, the NBA Vice President of International Basketball Operations, this morning on a conference call, they said the support from the Australian players have been phenomenal. They went up to the NBA and said, we need to get more happening in Australia. You're seeing it next month with the Basketball Without Borders camp. And I think a game's the next step. They did say there's no plan yet, no time frame for a game. But, I mean, you look at it, 2 years ago, the Major League Baseball kicked off their season here in Sydney and it was a success, two starts in a row. The college football's bringing a game here in August to Sydney. You have the America versus Canada ice hockey each year in Melbourne. So it can be successful.
And we obviously love our basketball as well. We've had a long and rich history of the NBL, especially during the 80s and 90s. It was a very, very popular sport. Obviously, right now, it's experiencing a bit of a transition period. We saw last year there was a big jump in numbers, a big spike in numbers for the NBL. So obviously, we love our basketball. We know our basketball. So it should be a bit of a no-brainer that bringing a game here would only be beneficial to the game. And we'd no doubt be able to pack out wherever it's played.
Yeah, absolutely. Dellavedova said the other day that he could probably fill out a football stadium.
Absolutely.
Which he probably could.
Absolutely. Topic number two. Luke, you are a very, very passionate Cavaliers fan. Not only that, but you're just a Cleveland sports fan in general. You love Matthew Dellavedova. Why do you think Matthew Dellavedova is the best Australian in the NBA as we speak? He's your boy. Defend him. Why do you think he's the best one?
Well, I just think anyone who watches the Cavaliers play or have seen him play throughout the years, ever since the Big Three formed of Love, Irving and James, there's been a bit of a bench gap. We haven't had a very good bench. But when you see Dellavedova coming for Irving, he controls the offense. He's improved that this year with his passing, his ball handling. He just controls everything. He's got a really good pick and roll game with LeBron, which is vital to have with LeBron starting the second and fourth quarters with the bench unit. And just the fact, in this year's playoffs, Dellavedova has a higher net rating, which is offensive rating and defensive rating combined. He's got a higher net rating than Kevin Love and Kyrie Irving. So that just gives you a bit of an insight of how much he means on both ends of this Cavs team.
And LeBron loves him as well, which is even better.
Yeah, I mean, Coach Tyronn Lue said it earlier this season. He said, if you don't love Dally, you don't love basketball.
Exactly.
So,
exactly.
I mean, I think it's pretty high praise.
Topic number three, following on from that question, if you could have any other Aussies in the Cavs' current squad, who would it be?
Well, I think it'd be Joe Ingles, because if you look at the Cavs ever since LeBron came back, last year we had Sean Marion backing him up, an old veteran. This year it's the same thing with Richard Jefferson. While he's been okay, Jefferson, but he's not going to be around for many more years. If you get Joe Ingles in there to play a swingman to back up LeBron, he can shoot and he's a solid defender, and that's all we need from a backup to LeBron James. So I think Joe Ingles would be a great addition if they can get him.
Ingles would be fantastic. Topic number four. How much have you enjoyed the Brisbane Bullets off-season so far? We spoke about the NBL a little bit before, and we want to see it grow into what it was in the 80s and 90s. Brisbane Bullets have signed some phenomenal names so far this off-season, mate.
They have. Well, I'll just look at this past week, and they signed Ruben Tarangi, Sean Bruce, and Nick Key, along with Daniel Kickett, Adam Gibson, Tommy Yervis, Anthony Petru.
So there's some big names.
There's some big names there. And I think it's really important for the Brisbane Bullets to have success straight away, because we saw with Townsville dropping out of the league this offseason, that wasn't because of their on-court staff. You know, Sean Dennis won the Coach of the Year this year. They were a young, inexperienced team that won 11 games and played hard, but they didn't have crowd numbers or public interest. If you get the Bullets to come in immediately and win games with a group of established NBL players, they'll be massive. It would be massive.
So far, if you were to give it a rating out of, say, 10 on how well they're going so far, what would you give them?
I would probably say about 8.59, which is very high.
What do you reckon they need to do? What's the next step for them? Is there another player that they need to sign, or what do you think the next step would be for them to do in order to take them to that next level of you know, terrific off-season form? And saying that, the finals are never won in the off-season. We normally see in a lot of other sports, generally the teams that have the best off-season from either a free agency perspective or a draft perspective generally aren't the teams that succeed the most in the regular season. So it's obviously just speculation at the moment, and it might not translate at all to what's going to happen to their team this season. But if there was something that they needed to do, is there anything specifically that they can do in order to make it to the next level? Or do you think just keep signing these brand name free agents in order to create kind of this brand and get these fans through the doors and get players that actually know, that are known by these casual fans?
Yeah, I think to keep doing what they're doing, keep getting these guys, like you look at Daniel Kickett, Adam Gibson, most casual NBL fans will know who these players are.
Yeah.
But then if you look at someone like Nick Kay, he's a young player and he's a really, really good young player at that. So they've got some established guys, Kickett and Gibson, but then they're in the younger guys in as well. And Ruben Tarangi had a terrific second half of the season with New Zealand as well. So
it's a great mix.
It's a really good mix.
Great mix. Now, topic number five, to finish off our starting five, we mentioned before that our usual co-host, Damo, is having a baby tomorrow. What do you think he should name his child? Let's go boy and girl here. We won't reveal whether he's having a boy and a girl. He can tell us what he's having. If it's a boy, what do you think are some of the names that that he should call? Give me one or two names that you think he should look at calling his baby boy.
I think Paddy.
That makes sense, because Paddy Mills is Damo's favourite player.
Yes, so I think it's a really nice connection. And I know you've got an interesting one, number eight. Relation to a Seinfeld episode.
Exactly, I was watching Seinfeld the other day, and George Costanza's favourite player is Mickey Mantle, or was Mickey Mantle.
Yes.
And Mickey Mantle was number seven, and he wanted to call his child Seven.
Yes.
S-E-V-E-N. After the player. And I thought, well, maybe Damo can take that same approach and call his kid Eight, in honour of not only Paddy Mills, but Matthew Dellavedova as well. Both fantastic number eights. He should call his kid Eight.
It makes sense.
It makes perfect sense. You can go down the college path and call his kid Randy after Randy Bennett.
It makes sense. I think it's a perfect mix. And they're still good names. It's not like it's a Kanye-esque Kim Kardashian crazy name. You can get a Ray.
Eight Arsenis. I reckon it sounds awesome.
It rolls off the tongue.
Eight Arsenis. I love it. What about for a girl? What would you say he should name his girl?
I like Gale after Gale. The St. Mary Gales.
That sounds perfect. It's, or you can go Penny for Penny Taylor. You can go Lauren for Lauren Jackson.
Absolutely.
Gale's a nice one because it's not exactly an obvious name like the other two.
Mm-hmm.
I think Eight or Gale. I reckon one of those two, if it's a boy or a girl. Next week, we can come back on and he can bring in little Eight or little Gale and we'll see how we go. But I reckon that's fantastic. Let's move on. And we always finish off the show, Luke. We want to ask, what are you looking forward to this week in hoops, my friend?
Well, for me, as a Cavs fan, as we alluded to, it's just the Cavaliers and Hawks series. The Cavs got away in game one, played really good basketball, really bad basketball in the middle, and then had a good, strong closeout. But I really want to see how Dellavedova continues to guard Dennis Schroeder. Schroeder had 27 points in game one. He hit 5 3-pointers after hitting, I think it was 3 3-pointers in the whole Boston series.
Mm.
So I want to see how Dally keeps guarding Dennis if he goes over or under the screens. And Dally didn't have a huge impact in game one. So we'll see if he can just pick up the form that he had in the Detroit series.
I'm interested in the Spurs series. The Spurs and Thunder series, phenomenal game two. Bit of controversy towards the end, whether it was an elbow from Dion Waiters or whether Manu Ginobili was actually over the line. I think he did have his foot on the line in the end.
Line,
That's just going to be a phenomenal series. Tied at 1-1 apiece now. Obviously, Thunder come away with the home court advantage at the moment, which is phenomenal considering the way that the Spurs have been playing all postseason. This is going to be a fantastic series. Patty Mills is going to be an integral part for the Spurs, so I'm looking forward to seeing that. Mate, thank you so much for filling in for Damo's shoes, mate. Always appreciate it. Where can we find all your work? Twitter and all that sort of stuff?
On Twitter, I'm at Luke Sakari, and then you can find my work on the Pick and Roll.
And pretty much everywhere else on the internet. You are everywhere. If anyone... Make sure to give Luke a follow because he writes. You write for SD in America. You write for Zoom Sports. You write for Cleveland blogs. You write for everything, mate. So well done. Thanks for coming in, and we'll see you soon.
No problems. It was a pleasure.